in this kingdom, the treasures of the kingdom are accessible by the key of knowledge.
Vision is a necessity for human survival. You are a deliberate creature of a God in heaven, and you were sent from the realm of eternity into the earth realm in order to fulfill a divine purpose. You are here on a mission.
Jesus died, resurrected to restore us back to the glory realm. Christianity is a call unto the glory life. Christianity is a call unto a life of glory and dominion. You have to be transformed into that version of you that is needed to fulfill your destiny. Through the process of spiritual metamorphosis, mental metamorphosis, the assignment is at the mercy of your personal growth and transformation. Welcome to day 19, right, of our 21-day fasting and prayer. We titled it a fast unto the glory reign. Hallelujah, as we prepare for GIC. You might be seated. Glory to God. The glory of the Lord shall be revealed in a fresh and in a unique way, like never before. It's going to be a deluge, an unprecedented manifestation of God's glory, an avalanche of His presence, avalanche of His power. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. We just have barely 2 days to go. Take tomorrow's prayer seriously. Clear your schedule. Make the sacrifice to be part of the corporate prayers. It's a very, very important part of our spiritual preparation to have an impactful program. For GICC to be impactful, we must make the necessary spiritual investment. This ministry, we don't just hold programs for the sake of holding programs. No. We do what we do because we are commanded. We are led by the Spirit. And we play our part by preparing well, making the necessary spiritual preparation. Spiritual preparation, so that the meeting will be very impactful. I'm telling you, GICC, the impact will last for a lifetime. It's going to be a lifetime encounter. It's a move of the Spirit. Then there are those that, you see, when we pray, things happen. Great things happen. We're already receiving phone calls. There are people planning to travel to come. I don't know what we're going to do because I'm seeing overflow in the Spirit. I'm seeing crowd, people in their thousands. See, the Spirit of God is beginning to stir people's hearts. These are the things that happen. You understand? The Spirit of God will start stirring people's hearts. It's the Spirit of God that makes people come for meetings. Glory to God. Yes, we play our part. We try to do our publicity, but beyond the publicity, I told you, publicity only creates awareness. It's the Holy Spirit that moves people to come. It stirs their heart. It compels them. The compelling power of the Spirit that pulls them. Am I communicating? This is why we are praying. This is why we are fasting. This is why we are making the necessary spiritual preparation. All those hindrances and barriers that will stop them, we are removing them in the Spirit. Glory to God. I'm telling you, the Spirit of God is already stirring people's hearts. Oh, it's already stirring people's hearts. I'm telling you, glory to God. I say glory to God. And I want everybody to be part of the publicity, okay? Both online and offline. Yesterday, let me conclude what I started teaching yesterday. we started looking at what was the topic? How God leads his children, right? How God leads his children. How God leads us today. And yesterday we laid a very important foundation. We looked at the prerequisite to what? Receiving God's leading. Or you can put it this way, how to train your spirit to develop sensitivity. How to train your spirit to develop sensitivity to receive God's leading. And how do you train your spirit? Look at all the method there. Number one, pray abundantly in the spirit. You know, we said that for you to be led by the spirit, you must first be full of the spirit. Luke 4 verse 1. Jesus was full of the spirit and was led. Are you seeing that? To be spirit led, you must first be spirit filled. And then you must become spiritually minded. I was in the spirit on the Lord's day. Revelation 1:10. John heard. And then he saw. Am I communicating? To receive divine leading, you must first be spirit filled. And then you must be spiritually minded. Don't be carnally minded. Listen, the Holy Spirit does not communicate first with your body. Mm-mm. You know, you say hearing God's voice. People are expecting God to speak to this natural physical ear. No. Man is a spirit. Won't you think I'm a madman if I enter your room? And instead of talking to you, the occupant of the room, I'm now talking to the building. Won't you think I'm mad? Now listen, your body is your house. It's like that building you are living inside. The real you is the occupant of the house, which is your spirit. So, just like you don't expect me to come to your house and start talking to your building, don't expect the Holy Spirit to be speaking to this natural ear. Are you getting my point? He speaks to the occupant of the house, which is the real you, which is your spirit. The Holy Spirit communicates with your spirit. We are led through our spirit. We receive all the leadings of the spirit through our spirit. So if you want to enjoy the leading of the spirit, if you want to easily receive, become spiritually minded. Become spirit conscious. Some Christians are body conscious. Others are fleshly conscious. They are fleshly minded. They are carnally minded. But for you to receive the leading of the spirit easily, become what? Spiritually what? Minded. Because God speaks to your spirit. He communicates with your spirit. See, God does not talk to your mind first. Mm-mm. He doesn't talk to your soul first. Mm-mm. He doesn't talk to your body. Mm-mm. It's your spirit. Then the communication from the Holy Ghost to your spirit can now be transmitted to your mind. Then you will now know what God, the leading that is giving you. So you see how the thing flow from your spirit to what? Your mind, your soul. And then your body will now carry it out. Are you getting my point? So become spiritually minded. Become spirit conscious. Because that is where the Holy Spirit lives. He that is joined to the Lord is what? One spirit. Glory to God. So, be full of the spirit. This is the necessary, critical foundation. Be full of the spirit. Become spiritually minded. Become spirit conscious. And be full of the word of God. Be full. He said, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Okay? Be full of the word. Because all the leadings of the spirit must be in line with the word of God. Glory to God. And then, how do you train your spirit? Because we say all the communications from God is through your spirit, is to your spirit, right? First to your spirit. So how do you train your spirit to develop sensitivity to receive God's leading? How do you train your spirit? Because your spirit is a receptacle. Is the receptacle. Am I coming in? Is the receiver. You know, there is transmitter. There is what? Receiver. The Holy Ghost is the transmitter. Your spirit is the receiver. So you see that the quality of reception depends on the state of your spirit. That's why your spirit must be trained to recognize God's leading. Your spirit must be trained to pick up those leadings of the Holy Ghost. Am I communicating? Glory to God. How do you train your spirit? Look at the key there. Number one, pray abundantly in the spirit. Praying in the spirit is critical. It helps to train your spirit to develop sensitivity to receive God's leading. Glory to God. He that speaketh in an unknown tongue edifieth himself. Speaking in tongue is spirit to spirit communication. Am I communicating? Build up yourself by praying in tongues. Building up yourself on your most holy faith. Jude 20. Praying in the Holy Ghost. He that speaketh in an unknown tongue is speaking mysteries. Glory to God. He edifies himself. He builds up his spirit. You are building your spirit, training your spirit to develop sensitivity, so that you can easily recognize the voice of God. Praise God. That's why most of the time it's easy to hear God when you are praying or after prayer. Why? Because the prayer will help to fine-tune your spirit, to sensitize your spirit. Am I communicating? Prepare you to easily receive the communications from the Holy Ghost. Number two, you train your spirit to develop sensitivity, to receive God's leading. Look at it there. Constant meditation. What I'm doing is summary of what we did yesterday. Constant meditation on God's word. Colossians 3:16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. And I ask, how do you make the word dwell in you richly? It's through meditation. Habitual meditation on the word. I said through meditation, you train your spirit to recognize through habitual, constant meditation on God's word, you are training your spirit to recognize the voice of the author of the word of God. And who is the author of the word? The Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost will speak to you with the same tune, with the same voice that you normally hear anytime you meditate on his word. So you can know what is not of God when you develop that habit of meditating on the word. You'll be able to distinguish between the voice of God and other voices. The voice of the devil, the voice of your own mind, the voice of the flesh. You can easily sift them when you are acquainted with the voice of God through constant meditation on his word. Am I communicating? Make the word of God final authority in your life. In every area, final authority. Submit completely. Surrender, submit to the lordship of the word. Submit to the authority of the word. Am I communicating? It's easy for God to lead you when you have submitted completely to the authority of the word of God, to the lordship of the word. Be humble. Humility is word compliance. That's you accept God's opinion as revealed in his word as final. You drop religious tradition. You drop whatever you have believed before now. The moment the truth stares you in the face in the word, you accept it. You drop contrary belief. That's what humility means. That's you go with God's opinion. You comply with the word. That's why I say humility is what? Word compliance. We say you are a humble person. And humility is a combination of what? Meekness and teachability. Okay? Meekness plus teachability. That's you are meek, you are teachable. That means you are humble. Glory to God. It's easy for God to lead those that have made God's word first place in their life. Give God's word first place in your life. Put the word first. Am I communicating? Prioritize it. Make it first and final authority, okay? Then you say, you also train your spirit to develop sensitivity to receive God's leading by a lifestyle of praise and worship. Acts 13:2, as a minister to the Lord, as a worship God, the Holy Ghost said, okay? A lifestyle of what? Praise and worship. Isaiah 30:29, it says, you will hear a song in the night. Give me Isaiah. 30:29. If you are a worshiper and a genuine praiser, worship and praise will help to correctly sensitize and correctly position your spirit to receive God's leading. It will help fine-tune your spirit, okay? It will help you to hear God, okay? He said, you shall have a song as in the night, when the holy solemnity is kept, and gladness of heart, as when, you see, it's difficult to hear God's voice when your mind and your heart is clouded with all manner of discouragement, when your heart is heavy, you are depressed. You see, all those negative emotions coming from your mind. Do you know it can affect your hearing God? Not because God is not talking to you, but your receptacle, your reception is a problem. There are too many things that are... what did they say? Too many things that are what? Dulling your perception. You are sad, you are discouraged, you are depressed. It will be so hard. So you have to deal with those things. And one of the most potent way to deal with discouragement and depression is start praising and worshiping God. Praise and worship. Praise is an antidepressant. In Psalm 42, twice David said, why? David was talking to himself. Okay, I'll come back here. Psalm 42. Look at what David said. Is it verse 3 or 4? Just let me bring it out. He says, why are thou disquieted? You see, sometimes you have to talk to yourself. It not be everybody where they talk to himself, Chris. You understand? It's scriptural to talk to yourself. Am I communicating? Sometimes I talk to myself. When you see yourself, you are going the wrong way, doing the wrong thing. You have to talk to yourself. Am I communicating? Sometimes you are discouraged. You have to speak to encourage yourself. The Bible says David encouraged himself. Am I communicating? Sometimes you have to pat yourself on the back. Say, Luca, calm down. Everything shall be all right. This thing must end in praise. It doesn't matter what is happening. You preach to yourself. Preach the word of faith to yourself. Am I communicating? Look at what David said. David is talking to himself. David is an expert in encouraging himself, especially during depressing, distressing times, times of discouragement. Instead of complaining, murmuring, grumbling, look at what David said. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? He's talking to himself. He's talking to himself. He says, my soul, why are you cast down? Why art thou disquieted in me? Hope thou in God. And a major sign of major depression is hopelessness. That's why people that suffer major depression, if left undealt with, they may commit suicide. Why? They lose hope. You see this? It says, hope thou in God. As long as somebody has hope, the person will come out of depression. Hope thou in God. For I shall yet praise him, for he is the help of my countenance. Praise is an antidepressant. Can you see that? Anytime Satan appears to be doing things to discourage you, to weigh you down, just switch on, turn on the switch of praise. Am I communicating? Let that river of joy flow. Your joy expressed in form of singing. These are expressions of joy. Look for a popular song that you like, that the thing normally turn your head. Play it. Dance. They say the fastest way to be happy is to dance. Some of you don't know that. When you are feeling down and all of that, see, the fastest way to be happy, look for your best song and play it. Danceable song. Only you, just dance. It's like slapping Satan. Am I communicating? Laugh. Laughter is expression of joy too. He said, I will yet praise him. He's the light of my countenance. Now, this is verse what? Verse 5. Look at verse 6. He said, oh my God, my soul is cast down within me. Therefore will I remember thee from the land of Jordan. You see, You know, Jeremiah said, "This I recall to mind, therefore I have hope." There must be something you must remember for you to come out of discouragement, depression, and distress. Remember the word of God. What have God said concerning you? Remember those visions. Remember those things God told you. Don't doubt what God told you in the dark. What God told you during the light, during the day. Don't doubt it because you are going through darkness. Am I communicating? There are times I go back to my prophecy book. I write down the things God told me some years back, the things God is telling me now, the things He told me some days back, week. You know, there are times that I'm going through challenges. Satan is making me to think as if nothing is working. I go back to those things. I rehearse them. I tell the devil, sit down, let me read something for you. You understand? Are you getting me? Say, God told me this. What do you have to say? I'm talking to the devil now. The Bible says, if God be for us, who can be against us? Am I communicating? What have God told you before? People easily forget. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name. This is David talking again. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits. How come small problem, you have forgotten all His benefits? All those daily loads of benefits, divine benefit of salvation and redemption. David went ahead to list them. Who forgiveth all thy iniquities? Who healeth all thy diseases? Who redeemed thy life from destruction? Who crowned thee with His loving kindness? Just be counting them. It's too many. Even if you claim there's nothing to thank God for, what of the gift of life? You are alive, you are not dead. Unto him that is joined to the land of the living, there is hope. A living dog is better than a dead lion. As long as there is life, there is hope. I say, as long as there is life, there is hope. As long as you are still breathing, there is hope. Are you getting me? Stop focusing on what has not happened, what God has not done. Start focusing and emphasizing on the ones He has done. Are you getting me? Focus on His goodness. A songwriter said, count your blessing, name them one by one. Because people easily forget. Now, look at that same Psalm 42. Look at David repeating the same thing in 11, verse 11. Look at this, verse 11. Is it not the same thing? Help me. 1, 2, 3, go. Can you see this? It's the light of my countenance. I will yet praise Him. Tell your neighbor, I will praise Him. I will hope in God. No matter what is happening, no matter the financial crisis, no matter whatever, I will never lose hope in God. My eyes are on you, Lord. And I will praise you. I will offer unto him the sacrifice of praise. Look at Psalm 43, verse 5. The same thing again. Triple emphasis. The same thing again. You see it again? He said, why are thou cast down, O my soul? Why are thou disquieted within me? Hope in God. Have faith in God. But the journey of faith begins with hope. Because faith is the substance of things hoped for. Faith gives substance to the reality. It makes what hope is hoping for to become a present tense reality. Okay? Tell your neighbor, hope in God. Sing God's praise. Hallelujah. He said, you shall have a song in the night. And then Isaiah 30:29, where we read earlier, go back there. He said, you will have a song in the night, as in when holy solemnity is kept. And then that solemnity is like a feast. Okay? And you know, when there is feast, there is joy and happiness. He said, as when one goeth with a pipe to come into the mountain of the Lord, to the mighty one of Israel. Next verse 30. He said, and the Lord shall cause his glorious voice to be heard. Can you see the connection? He said, when you have a song in the night, when you start praising and worshiping God, God will cause his glorious voice to be heard. Just like in Acts 13:2, as they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Ghost said. Can you see the connection? Be a worshiper, be a praiser. And then the next verse, he said, through the voice of the Lord, the Assyrians shall be defeated. So, you see, you praise, worship, you receive divine direction, the voice of God comes to you, and the voice of God gives you the strategy for victory, for conquest, in battle. And then he said, you will deal with the Assyrians. You will win the battle. Glory to God. I say glory to God. Then he says, you should promptly respond in obedience to divine instruction. John 2:5, whatever it tells you to do, do it. Okay? Pay attention to and obey the promptings of the Spirit, the nudgings of the Spirit, the urges of the Spirit. Now, Romans 8:14. Romans 8:14. As many as are led by the 14. Praise God. He said, for as what? Many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are what? I hope this message is on record yesterday and today. Okay? Now, did you notice something there? As many as are led by the Spirit of God are the sons of God. In other words, that means being led by the Spirit is not a privilege for a child of God. It's one of our rights, sonship right in Christ. Being led by the Spirit of God is a right of every child of God. Is part of your right in Christ. It's a sonship right, not a privilege. Okay? It's not just the privilege of some hyper spirikoko. You know spirikoko? It's not only prophets that should be led by the Spirit of God. It's not the right of... the leading of the Spirit, hearing God's voice and all of that, is not the exclusive reserve of some hyper-spiritual Christian or some heavyweight prophet. It's the right of every child of God. You see, what I'm teaching you is very critical. Because many Christians have serious confusion here. They don't know how to recognize God's leading. They don't know how to recognize God's voice. They don't know how to receive the leading of the Spirit. So you see them jumping from one prophet to another prophet to hear God for them. Eh? Some even pay prophet so that the prophet will help them to hear God. He should hear God for them and come and tell, as if the God is only the father of the prophet. He's not your own father. Are you getting my point? It's a slap. Is one of your rights. You should know how to hear God for yourself. You should know how God leads. That's why you should pay attention to this message, because it will bring a lot of clarity. Am I communicating? Light is coming to you. Amen. Confusion is clearing off now. Amen. Glory to God. Because I know many believers like that. Very confused people. Because many have never been taught. Eh? Jumping from one prophet house to another prophet. No wonder the prophets are charging money. Because both they that go to them and they that they went to, all of them na mumu. Sorry for my English. Praise God. As many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Let me tell you, noble, being led by the Spirit is not a privilege. It is one of your rights as a son of God. It's one of your sonship rights. You understand? It's not the exclusive result. It's not only for preachers. It's not only for pastors, apostles, prophets. No. It's for everybody. Every child of God should hear God, should be able to recognize God's leading. Am I communicating? You know, when I was young as a Christian, a younger believer, I used to wonder when I hear men of God say, God spoke to me. Have you been there? I used to wonder. So at some point, self, I used to argue. I said, Nalai, how come that same God have not spoke to me? Is it only? You understand? I used to wonder. How come? How does God's voice sound? So me too, I was waiting to hear God's voice too. God, I said, God, you too spoke to me. Oh, don't mind my English. Spoke to me. I was expecting to hear it with this ear. Ah, it's ignorance. So that's why we are teaching you. I say God does not communicate with the outward man. He communicates with the real you, the occupant. See, this body is my house. You don't expect God to... I come to your house and I'm speaking to the house. I left the occupant and I'm talking to the house. Am I not mad? Is that not a sign of madness? That is how it is, expecting to hear God's voice with this physical ear. This pinna, ear sound collector, to now travel through what? Eh? To the eardrum, middle ear, the inner ear. Glory to God. You hear God from within, your spiritual ear. The ears of your spirit, that's the one God talks to. Am I communicating? Not this one. Praise God. I say praise God. Become God inside minded. God dwells in you in the person of the Holy Spirit. He leads you from within. That's why I say become spiritually minded. Become spirit conscious. Become God inside minded. For you to hear him. Don't be led by money. The Bible says, as many as are led by the Spirit of God. Did he say money? They are the sons of God. A lot of Christians are money led. Not just the people of the world. A lot of Christians are money led. They are led to marry. They make marital decisions based on money. They are not led by the Spirit. You see the problem? You marry the person because he has money. You marry the... It's not just ladies, even guys. You marry the lady because she get money. You didn't listen to the Holy Spirit. Don't be led by money. Many Christians, this is how they choose job. Oh, job offer, opportunity. Which one they pay the highest salary? They know they hear God again. But they don't even pray. Three job offer. One is paying $50,000 per month. The other one is paying $70,000 per month. The third one is paying $120,200 per month. The third one. Say, which one? Sir, if they ask me which one, you are asking the average Nigerian Christian which one. God have spoken. I tell him, pray first. Say, pray for what? God have spoken. Can't you see? $200,000. You see? That's how carnal Christians make choices. Don't be carnal. Don't become like Lot. How did Lot make his decision? When there was strife between Abraham's headsmen and Lot's headsmen, even though Lot was blessed just by following Abraham, so he received secondary flow of the blessing. And God prospered his business. Now, the space could not carry them. So there was strife. And the Bible says, Abraham called Lot. He said, no, let there be no strife between me and you or between our headsmen. He said, is the land not before us? If you go north, I will go south. You go east, I will go west. Abraham, what a humble man of God. He even gave Lot the chance to choose first. If I were Lot, I wouldn't have chosen first. Lot was foolish. If I were Lot, do you know what I would do? I will ask Papa Abraham to choose for me. That's wisdom. Think of it. All this while, my prosperity, everything working for me, is because I kept following this man. And now he's telling me to choose. Is it not simple wisdom to tell him to choose for me? But look at what Lord did. The Bible says, Lord lifted up his eyes. He saw the plain of Sodom and Gomorrah. He saw that the forests were green. He said, this is a very good pasture, grazing land. Fine. He said, my cattle will do well. See, he was led by the senses. That's the problem. As many as are led by the spirit, not by the senses, they are the sons of God. He went with the flesh. He only saw with these physical eyes, based on the senses. Guess what? He did not see with the eyes of the spirit. He didn't see the impending doom, the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah that was coming. He couldn't see it. If not for Papa Abraham, Lot would have been destroyed totally with the people of Sodom and Gomorrah. You see, his foolish decision costed him. At the end, he lost everything. Thank God he didn't lose his life. All his wealth, everything, he lost it, including his wife. Remember Lot's wife. Why did she turn into a pillar of salt? She disobeyed divine instruction. The angel said, run to the mountain. Don't look back. Don't look back. She forgot her golden necklace. Olan. She forgot her Olan. Is it Olan? Oh, Olandia. Olandis. Abraham, she told her, I forgot my Olandis. Say, don't look back. Oh, the angel said, what do you mean? Do you know how much I bought that Olandis? Piao. She told, never disobey what? Divine instruction. Don't be carnal. Don't make important destiny defining decision based on the senses. You went for NYSC. After NYSC, job opportunity came and the salary is fat. He said, this Nigeria, they say a bird in hand is what? Two in the bush. Let me grab this one. So you decided to stay there, not because the Holy Spirit said you should stay there, but because job. You see, don't be led by opportunities. Some opportunities can be trapped. See, do you know your destiny can be delayed for 50 years because of wrong location? Are you aware? If God wants you to be in Jos and you are in Ibadan, that's how your life will be going in cycle. All the the blessings, the angels that were sent to bless you, they will be looking for you in Jos. Yeah, the guy there in Ibadan, oh. Am I coming? See, after my NYSC, where I served, God helped me. I was so good. They wanted to retain me. The only I needed to do was to apply to the Federal Medical Center in Birnin-Kebbi. And if I had applied, I would have gotten. But I went before God. God said, for where? Say, don't stay here. You only came here for NYC. Your assignment is over after NYC. Say, go back to Jos, for there is a work I will have you do, and this is the work. Imagine if I stayed there. But there will be no AGMIO. I'm telling you the truth. Maybe from there I've done Japa, enter UK or something. You need to go look for pounds and dollars. Are you getting me? All of us won't be here. We won't be talking of GICCO. See, it's so important. Most likely I wouldn't have even seen my wife. Maybe I've still the market. They still look for wife now. I'm telling you the truth. You don't know how critical this thing is to your destiny. Don't just be choosing based on opportunity. Consult the Holy Spirit. Find out the will of God. Pray about everything. Am I communicating? Whether it is job offer, whether it is before you japa, make sure you heard from heaven. Abraham japa because God told him to japa. He said, leave your father's house. Genesis 12. Leave your kindred to a land I will show you. So Abraham's japa was commanded by God. You, who commanded your own? You're looking for greener pasture. Look at you. Am I communicating? Isaac wanted to japa. See, two people, God told the father to japa. Now, there was famine in Genesis 26 in the land of the Philistine, and his son Isaac wanted to follow the footsteps of his father. He wanted to go down to Egypt, because when there was famine, Abraham took Jacob to Egypt. Egypt is like the type of America, UK today. God told his son Isaac, he said, don't Jacob, stay here. Tell your neighbor, before you make any choice to Japan, whether outside of Jos or outside of Nigeria, make sure you hear from God. Be guided, be led in your decision. Don't be carnal. Am I communicating? Listen, if you Japan without hearing God, you may soon Japada. You go Germany, something go jam you there. You go Jakarta, you rush to Russia, you go rush back. Are you getting me? Glory to God. Hear from God, oh, be led. Tell your neighbor, be led. So don't be led by money. Don't be led by opportunities. Some people's destiny have ended. As in, they ended up not fulfilling their destiny because they were led by good opportunities. Not every good opportunity is from God. Some of them are traps by the devil. When I wanted to resign from Ola Hospital, my wife is here, I even told her. I started writing my resignation letter. Then we heard news that they have increased salary. And then the devil was telling me, you want to leave? See how they have increased salary. You understand? Is that not a temptation? And the doctors have been clamoring for salary increase for all the years I was around. They didn't increase it. It was when I was about to. God said I should resign. That was when they increased the salary. Imagine if I was to be led by money or opportunity, I would still be there. Are you getting my point? You need to make up your mind that you will not be led by opportunity. You will not be led by money. You will not be led even by people. Don't be people led. Some people, they are easily led by their friends. Anything they see their friends do, they too do. Before they do something, they will find out from their friend, hey, I'm planning to do it. What do you think? The friend say, do it this way. Instead of consulting the Holy Spirit, they are led by friends. Some are led by their family members. Some are led by what? Their peer pressure. They do things because of peer pressure. Some are led by society. Like Nigerian society, because of the current economic hardship and recession, do you know it has given people direction? People have jackpot in mass. Don't be led by circumstances. Don't be led by situations. Don't be led by the society. Don't be led by your friends. All my friends are getting married. All my friends are getting any man will come, I go just marry. You go marry devil. Don't be led by people. Is your name everybody? Are you your friends? Is your destiny their destiny? God's plan and purpose for your life is different. If they want marry, let them go and marry. The Bible says God makes everything beautiful in his time. Your own time too is coming. Calm down. Don't be under pressure. Glory to God. By the time your own husband come, it will be new model, their own will be old model. So calm down. Glory to God. This is a very critical topic. Pastor Chris gave a story. He said there was this is friend, man of God, on fire for God. God was using him mightily on campus. This is somebody that Pastor Chris has high regard for then in Ekpoma, former Bendel State University, now is Ambrose Ali University. He said, after they graduated, this guy got scholarship abroad, you understand, to US. And he was sharing the testimony with Pastor Chris. Pastor Chris said he was crying inside him. He knew that this guy has missed it. Instead of being happy for him, Pastor Chris said he was sad. And as the guy left, that was the end of... The guy never fulfilled ministry again. He said several years later, fast forward, Pastor Chris said he was in U.S. for some meetings. For some, they were having meetings. And then somehow, he saw this guy again after so many years. And the guy looked at Pastor Chris, the guy was crying. He said he missed it. He said now he now remember why Pastor Chris was sad for him. He said he went outside God's will. That was it. Decisions are important too. See, there are some destiny decisions. Don't allow anybody to force you to do anything. Am I communicating? Hear from God. Be led by the Spirit. Some people have died premature death because they were outside of God's will. They were not following God's leading. Eh? Praise God. A woman of God, mighty woman of God, God was using. She died in an aircraft. Had accident in this country. A woman that was someone that was close to her was telling us that before she traveled for that meeting, she was telling them that she doesn't feel like going for this meeting. No. She doesn't feel led. But the problem is she has given them her words that she was coming. And she didn't want to disappoint them. But now, this was a leading. Am I communicating? Never brush off those... I'm not talking of fear attacking your mind. The leading from within. Bishop Oyedepo said, if I tell you I'm coming for a program, you invite me. He said, there is no guarantee that I will minister until I start ministering. Do you understand? That means as he's flying and coming, he can make you turn on air. If God tells him otherwise, phew, he's going back. It's as if, it's a, even if he comes and he's seated on minister's seat, people are seeing, if he receives a contrary signal, he's walking out of that meeting. So there is no guarantee that he will minister until he starts ministering. Apostle Joseph Suleiman said he was in a program. Was he like a crusade or something? You know, he came for, no, not a crusade. It was a church program, like a convention, conference. When he came on stage, the Holy Spirit told him, tell everyone to carry their Bible and journal and run out of this hall, including you. Ah! Does it sound... Is it not funny? Ah! Just imagine I come one day for Avalanche. And I say, the Holy Spirit say, carry your Bible, carry everything, and run. He said, he tried to reason it. The thing was not making sense. So he behaved as if he did not hear. He continued preaching. The voice kept coming again. Tell everyone, carry your Bible, carry your bag, everything you came to church with. You see that door? Run, including you. So when the thing came the third time, he decided to obey. He told the people that, see what the Holy Spirit told me, oh, carry your Bible, carry your journal, everything you came to church with, and run. He said, beginning with me, he carried his things and ran. Guess what? Everybody ran, vacated that venue. Is it like 5 minutes after they left, there was a heavy bomb blast scattered everywhere inside that church? See, this thing I'm teaching you will save your life. Oh, this is why many Christians have suffered and even died in some avoidable accident, because they ignored the voice and leading of the Spirit. Some were even too carnal to even receive the leading, while some received it but they brushed it aside. Am I communicating? It can save your life. It's life saving. Praise God. How does God lead his children? Number one, right. through divine signal. Please let me clean this board. Through what? Divine signals. What we popularly call the inward witness. Romans 8 verse 16. Romans 8 16. The Spirit himself, give me New King James Version, bears witness with our spirit that we are what? The sons of God. Divine signals. Through inward signal transmission. This one is not a voice. It's not a voice. Listen. The Spirit of God bears witness, testifies jointly, corroborates with your spirit, signals your spirit from within. Am I communicating? That you are a what? A son of God. This is talking about, by this divine signal, I mean the inward witness, which also means a spiritual awareness, an awareness in your spirit. It's not a voice per se. It's a knowing, a spiritual knowing. You just know supernaturally. Am I communicating? Give me John 6 verse 6. John 6 verse 6. Glory to God. Are you enjoying this teaching? Are you learning something? John 6 verse 6. What does it say? When they were faced with the challenge of feeding the multitude, the Bible says Jesus asked them a question to prove them. This is said. He said, where shall we have bread to feed all these people? He said, this is said, for he himself knew what he would do. Somebody said divine signal from within. He knew, he was aware inside. It's a supernatural knowing. It's a spiritual knowing. You can't explain it. You don't know how you knew, but you just know supernaturally by the Holy Spirit. Am I communicating? It's not a voice. You receive signal from within. Inward intuition. Inward premonition. Inward perception. You perceive with your spirit. Because remember, your spirit is united with the Holy Spirit as one. So the Holy Spirit can pump in those signals. Am I communicating? Listen very well, because this is how God leads his children in the New Testament 95% of the time. Is through this first method. So wake up. Because you need to understand this one. Because this is the number one way, 95% of the time, this is how God will lead you. This was how God led Jesus during his ministry. Majorly, it was through the inward witness. Not even the audible voice of the Holy Spirit. I think somebody counted only 3 times God spoke to Jesus through the audible voice of the Spirit. 3 times during his baptism, heaven was open, voice came. At Mount of Transfiguration. Then what's the third one? On the cross. Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani. This was the only 3 times, audible voice. All the other times was through what? Inward witness. Jesus knew. Glory to God. Then give me, are you learning something? Luke 6 verse 8. Watch this. Luke 6 verse 8. Have you been there that you want to do something and then before you started, you knew that it will turn out this way? Have you been there? It's not that a voice spoke to you. You just know supernaturally. It's divine signals from the Holy Spirit to your spirit. It's the witness of the Spirit. Am I communicating? Boy, he knew their thoughts. How did Jesus know? Through the inward witness. He knew their thoughts and said to the man which had the wither, rise up, stand forth, stretch forth your hand. And he arose and said, Jesus knew. By this, listen, by this method, Jesus could read people's thoughts. He could know people's thinking supernaturally. Glory to God. I say glory to God. Romans 8:16 again. It says, the Spirit, I say, give me a New King James, himself bears witness with our spirit that we are what? Children of God. Give me an amplified. The Spirit himself does testifies together with our spirit. Ah, yeah. Joint testimony. Corroborates evidence. Is through the inward witness. Assuring us that we are what? Children of God. Can you shout amen? See Message translation. I like the way Message put it. He said God's Spirit touches our spirit and confirms who we really are. Can you see this? This is the number one way, the witness of the Spirit. Spiritual supernatural knowing, spiritual awareness, inward impressions. Am I communicating? Inward premonition, that inward recognition. Somebody put it this way, spiritual sensing. Am I communicating? That inward sensing, you sense in your spirit. You know, do you know we have spiritual senses? You have physical senses, like your eyes, right? Sight, hearing, feelings. Now, these are physical senses. Do you know that the physical was patterned after the spiritual? Your spirit also have senses. So, this system by which your spiritual senses are activated, your spiritual organs of perception are activated so that you recognize the leading of the Spirit. That's what we are talking about. You can pick up divine signals through your spiritual senses. Your spiritual eyes, ears, feelings. Sometimes it can be in form of emotion. Ah, have you been there? You just feel bad that something is not going to, something bad will happen. And it's not physical feeling, no. It's a spiritual emotion. You are not just okay with something in your spirit. You know that something is wrong somewhere. It's a spiritual emotion. It's different from physical fear or fear attacking your mind. Mm-mm. This one is from inside. Am I communicating? Spiritual emotions, spiritual feeling. There are times you feel good about something you are about to do. Sometimes you feel danger, danger. You know, it's like traffic. You know traffic? Those traffic lighting system. Eh? When you say green, when traffic light is showing green, what does it mean? Go, the road is safe. When you say yellow, what does it mean? Get ready, but don't go. Then, it says what? What's the third one? Red. Red means what? Danger. Don't go. Going is dangerous. That is how this spiritual sensing system, am I communicating, can give us divine signal that this journey you are about to go, you are seeing red light. Eh? But you know what many of us do? We brush it aside. We follow our head. Don't follow your head. Don't follow your reasoning. Be led from within. Am I communicating? And it's not based on what somebody told you. Mm-mm. You are picking this signal from within. If you are finding it hard to differentiate your own fleshly feelings from the spiritual emotions you are getting, then spend time praying in tongues. Did you hear what I just said? This is how to differentiate the two. For instance, now if I'm about to do something and I'm having a negative feeling inside me about this decision that I'm about to do, I know something is wrong. Now, it may be that it's just fear attacking my mind. Or it may be that it's a leading I'm receiving from the spirit, from my spiritual emotion. Am I communicating? So how do I differentiate the two? I will spend time in God's presence, praying in the spirit, worshiping God, spending time in God's word. As the more I pray, listen, the more I pray, the more, listen, oh, if it is just fear, which is an external force attacking my mind, it will clear off. It will be gone. Am I communicating? Any leading I'm getting from my mind or from outside, it will blank out when I spend time praying in tongues. But if the leading is from my spirit, is God leading me, the more I spend time praying about it, the louder and clearer the leading becomes. It becomes stronger and stronger, stronger and stronger. Are you getting me? If it is a negative signal and I'm receiving danger, red light, that's don't do that thing, don't go this way, there's going to be problem, something is not right, the more I pray in tongues, the more stronger that leading becomes. That is how you differentiate the two. Glory to God. Are you learning something? You need to get this thing. So divine signals you sense in the spirit. Also, it can come in form of inward perception. 2 Kings 4 verse 9. Inward what? Perception. I perceive. You didn't hear anything. You perceive by the Spirit. Glory to God. Look at this. That Shunammite woman of influence and affluence that Elijah used to branch by her house anytime he's on a journey. Watch this. She said unto her husband, behold, now I perceive. Can you see this? She didn't say, I heard God's voice. I what? Perceive. This is the number one way God leads us. I perceive that this is a holy man of God, which passeth by us continually. Verse 10. She perceived. Then she said, let us make a little chamber, I pray thee, on the wall. Let us set for him there a bed and a table and a stool, because the prophet is a very studious prophet. You see? And a candlestick, and it shall be whenever he cometh to us, he shall turn in tittle. So in other words, let's build a house for him and furnish the house. So it's scriptural to build a house and furnish it for a man of God. I know many of you will build houses for me. Houses. Look at it here now. That was what she did. So anytime he comes around, he will stay there. Praise God. I say praise God. But look at how the journey started. I perceive. She didn't hear a voice. I perceive with her spirit. Glory to God. Are you learning something? Now give me Mark 2 verse 8. Look at Jesus again. Look at Jesus. Mark 2 verse 8. I perceive. And immediately, when Jesus perceived in his spirit, he perceived in his spirit. He didn't say the Holy Ghost spoke to him. He perceived in his spirit. This is the number one way God leads. And listen, this may not sound spectacular, but it is as supernatural as Jesus appearing to you and talking to you. All the leadings of the spirit are supernatural. Not all of them are spectacular. And stop elevating the spectacular method above the ones that are not so spectacular. Am I communicating? Because most of the time when you watch Mount Zion, thank God for Mount Zion movie, they like using all those spectacular method of God's leading. You just see one man wearing white appear. But the problem is that it's shaping people's paradigm. Many people are expecting the same thing, but not knowing that the spectacular method are not the primary way God leads us. They are under secondary. Okay? This is the number one way God leads us. These divine signals, divine sensing, inward witness, perception, inward perception. Jesus was led majorly this way. The Bible says he perceived in his spirit that they reason within themselves. So he said unto them, why are you reasoning these things in your heart? Look at Jesus again. Luke 5:22. Are you learning something? So pay attention to that inward perception you are having in your spirit. Those impressions, the witness of the spirit, the premonition, intuition, glory to God. That inward sensing, those significations of the spirit, they are coming from your spiritual organs of perception. You can pick those divine signals. Once your spiritual organs are sensitized and activated, praise God. But when Jesus perceived their thoughts, you see it again? He answered and said unto them, what are you reasoning in your heart? Acts 8:23. Are you learning something? Acts 8:23. Look at what Peter said to Elimas the sorcerer that wanted to bribe them to get the anointing. When he saw that through the laying on of hands of Peter and John, those new converts from the crusade that Philip did in Samaria, all they got filled with the Holy Ghost and they were speaking in tongues. When they lay hands, my guy that is coming from the other side, you know, he was a heavyweight magician. They like power, people like that. So he now brought money. You can't pay for the anointing. You can't buy it with money. Praise God. You can honor your way to the anointing with your seed, but you can't pay for it. He brought money. Peter got angry. He said, I perceive that thou art in the gall of bitterness and in the bond of iniquity. Peter said, I perceive. Somebody say, inward perception. Don't joke with it. It's the number one way God leads us. Perceive things in the spirit. Yeah. Somebody joined a church as a worker. Then they went and put him in finance unit to be counting money. And that was how one day the person was behaving as a good person, until one day the person cleared all the money from the church account, phew, and disappeared. Later, when the pastor was talking, he said, from day one when I saw this person, there's this I felt something was not right about him. See, the pastor did not pay attention to the inward perception. That was the Holy Spirit trying to lead the person. See, let nobody cajole you into anything. If you don't feel okay from inside, go and pray about it. Because something is wrong. Once the waters of your spirit man is muddled, then calm down. Go and pray again. Am I communicating? He says, I perceive. Acts 10:34. Peter said again, I perceive that God is not a respecter of persons. Acts 10:34. I perceive that God is not a respecter of persons. You see it again? I perceive. Inward perception. Acts 27:10. Acts 27:10. Are you learning something? This is the number one. I told you, God will lead you 95% of the time through this first method. Inward witness, divine signal, inward perception, premonition, intuition, a knowing, spiritual knowing. Many women that have married the wrong men, listen, that the marriage later failed, or the divorce, or the husband want to even kill them. When you counsel them, they will tell you that before they married the person, they knew that this is not the person they should marry. That was the inward perception. They knew in their spirit that something is wrong. This relationship is not the will of God. Am I communicating? But look at the problem. Instead of paying attention to the leading they are having in their spirit, they were following their head and their emotions, physical emotions, not spiritual emotions. The guy is very romantic. The guy has money. He's spoiling me with money. That's the problem. You are still a carnal Christian if you are led by those things. Pay attention to your spirit. Praise God. They were on a journey inside boat, inside sea. Then look at Apostle Paul. Apostle Paul stood up. He said unto them, "Sirs, I perceive that this voyage will be with hurt and much damage, not only of the lading and the ship, but also of our lives." Paul is saying that I perceive the accident is on the way. But look at what happened next. Verse 11, very fast. "Nevertheless, the centurion believed the master and the owner of the ships more than those things which were spoken by Paul." You see? They were listening to professional analysis. They were listening to the sailor. Is it sailor? Those people that man. You understand? He said, everything is clear. The compass is showing, you know, the weather is fine. You see? They were not listening to a spiritual man. A spiritual man is telling you, "I perceive accident is on the road." But they choose to believe. The centurion choose to believe what? The master and owner of the ship. And the accident happened. Read later. But thank God, Apostle Paul was there. So God spared their life. But the ship was damaged beyond repair. Praise God. Prophets are speaking. Professors too are talking. Who will you listen to? Praise God. Hallelujah. John 6:15. John chapter 6 verse 15. It says, Jesus, look at Jesus. This is how they will have removed Jesus from the will of God. Oh, people, after he fed that multitude, 5,000 men minus women and children with enough bread and fishes that they had 12 baskets left over, the people sat down and thought, "Chai, let's not allow this guy go. Let's crown him to be our king. He's the solution to our poverty problem." They have found who will be feeding them throughout their lifetime. Now, the Bible says, when Jesus therefore perceived that they will come and take him by force to make him a king, he departed again into a mountain himself alone. Jesus ran. He knew they were coming to grab him by force and make him their king. After he fed that multitude, he perceived. He didn't say God spoke to him, the Holy Spirit spoke, or angel appeared. He perceived. And then, he disappeared. Praise God. Learn to perceive things by your spirit. Learn to perceive. Pay attention to those spirit-inspired thoughts that come to your mind. Those spirit-giving thoughts. Those thoughts coming from the Holy Spirit. Those ideas given to you by the Holy Spirit. Those spirit-giving desires. Godly desires. Those spiritual emotions. Those spiritual feelings from within. Pay attention to them. These are ways God leads us. Praise God. In Acts chapter 17... verse 16. Look at what. Acts 17:16. Watch this. It says, "While Paul waited for them at Athens, his spirit was stirred in him." Notice he didn't hear a voice. His spirit was what? Stirred when he saw that the whole land was given to idolatry. And then next verse, he started preaching. How did God lead him to witness to those people the gospel? Through the stirrings of the spirit. Am I communicating? It's still under this divine signal. There's a divine signaling system from the Holy Spirit. Then Acts 18 verse 5. Watch this again. Acts 18 verse 5. "When Silas and Timotheus were come from Macedonia, Paul was pressed in the spirit." He was pressed in the spirit and testified to the Jews that Jesus was Christ. He was pressed in the spirit. He's still under divine signals. Can you see the expression? He was stirred in the spirit. Now he was pressed in the spirit. Pay attention to these things. Pay attention to them. Your spiritual recognition system, let them come alive. Praise God. Acts 15 verse 28. at that conference at Jerusalem, led by the pastor of the Jerusalem church, James, the brother of Jesus, you know, that they summoned Paul and Barnabas and all of that too. After they made all their findings, look at what they said. For it seemed good to the Holy Ghost and to us. Did you see that? It seemed good to the Holy Ghost and to us. It seemed good. It's spiritual emotion. Am I communicating? Spiritual sensing. Spiritual emotion. Spiritual feeling. Not physical feeling. Not fleshly feeling. It seemed good. How did they know that it seemed good to the Holy Ghost? Somebody said divine signal. And then to us, to lay upon you no greater burden than these necessary things. So, you can also describe this inward witness as your spiritual sima. It seemed good. If there's any English like that, your spiritual sima. Praise God. God uses this method to lead us 95% of the time. You use the word of God and the inward witness of the Spirit as a yardstick for judging all other leadings of the Spirit. Did you hear what I just said? Did you hear what I just said? Did you hear what I just said? Use the word of God, the written word of God, and the inward witness of the Holy Spirit, this inward perception. Use these two as the yardstick for judging all the other leadings of the Spirit. Okay? This is the first way God leads us. The second way, through the sounds of the Spirit. The first one, we say divine signals. Number two, the sounds of the Spirit. The sound of the Spirit. This is the audio channel. The audio channel. Praise God. Number one, we say divine signals. Divine signaling system, which can come in form of inward witness of the Spirit, inward perception, inward premonition. You just know, inward knowing, inward knowing, inward sensing. Praise God. Your spiritual sensing, using senses, all of that. Then the second way is what? Sound of the Spirit. And I say this one is a what? Audio channel. The first one I say is a signaling system or sensing system. The second one is audio channel. The speakings of God. The speakings. Under this, the first is through the voice of your human spirit. God can lead you through the voice of your human spirit, what we call the conscience. Praise God. Praise God. Your conscience is like your moral compass that commends or accuses you based on your action. Okay? It either commends you, excuses you, or accuses you. Now, give me Romans chapter 1 verse 15. Romans chapter 1 verse 15. Glory to God. We are looking at the speakings of God. God can speak to you through the voice of your spirit. Okay? Your conscience. Your human spirit has a voice. Your spirit has mouth, so it can speak. I told you have spiritual senses, right? You have spiritual eyes, spiritual ears, spiritual mouth, spiritual leg, spiritual hand. So you have spiritual tongue, so you can even taste spiritual. That's why I was supposed to say, taste and see that the Lord is good. So there is a spiritual testing system, spiritual sighting, hearing, okay, feeling and all of that. Now, your conscience is the voice of your human spirit, okay? God can speak to you. God can speak to you through your conscience. God can speak to you. Your God can lead you through the voice of your human spirit. Am I communicating? And guess what? The voice of your human spirit is what we call this still small voice. It's the so-called still small voice. Okay? Praise God. Romans 1:15. It says, "For as much as in me is, I'm ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also." Next verse. Next verse. I'm not ashamed. Okay, it's 2. Give me Romans 2 verse 15. Romans 2:15. Okay, it says, "Which should the work of the law written in their hearts, their consciences also what? Bearing witness." Their conscience also bearing witness, and their thoughts the mean, while accusing or else excusing one another. You see, your conscience is the voice of your human spirit. It can either accuse you when you do something wrong, or excuse you, praise God, or even commend you when you do the right thing. Glory to God. God can lead you through your conscience. Romans 9 verse 1. God can lead you through your conscience. He said, "For I say the truth in Christ, I lie not. My conscience," that's the voice of my human spirit, "also bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost." Listen, the Holy Ghost can speak to you directly, or he can speak to you through the voice of your human spirit. That's your conscience. Glory to God. Then Psalm 16 verse 7, it says, "Blessed the Lord who gives me counsel. I will bless the Lord who hath given me counsel. My reins also instruct me in the night season." Now that rein is talking of his heart, his spirit, okay? Give me an amplified. It brings it clearer. So God can guide you. God can lead you through your spirit, okay? Through the voice of your spirit. "I will bless the Lord who had given me counsel. Yes, my heart instruct me in the night season." The heart there is talking of his spirit man. Glory to God. Glory to God. 1 Kings 19:12. This was how God spoke to the prophet Elijah when he told him to go to a cave, and then he says, "Earthquake came, rent the rock. The voice of God was not there. Fire came, God was not in the fire." And then how did God finally speak to him? It's through the still small voice of his spirit. That was how he picked up the leading. Am I communicating? It says, "For he returned back from him and took..." No. Acts 19:11, please. Praise God. 12. Move to 12. Not Acts. 1 Kings. Did I say Acts? Sorry. 1 Kings 19:12. 1 Kings 19:12. Praise God. Hallelujah. You can write this down. Your conscience must be correctly trained by God's word to be a sure guide. Your conscience must be correctly trained by God's word to be a sure guide. It says, "After the earthquake, a fire, and the Lord was not in the fire." And after fire is what? Still small voice. Praise God. Now, listen, the direct voice of the Holy Spirit is authoritative. is the voice of the human spirit that is a still small voice. Your conscience is a still small voice. It's like a gentle nudging. God can lead you through that still small voice. Am I communicating? Glory to God. One difference, we'll see the voice of the Holy Spirit soon. One difference between the voice of your own human spirit and the voice of the Holy Ghost to you direct is this. Your human spirit, the voice of your human spirit is a gentle, still, small voice. But the voice of the Holy Spirit is authoritative. It's not one still, small voice. It's not a gentle nudging. It's authoritative. Am I communicating? And it is more commanding. Praise God. Glory to God. So write this down too. I say you should write down that your conscience must be correctly trained by God's word to be a sure guide. Then secondly, exercise your conscience to be void of offense toward God and toward men. Acts 24:16. Exercise your conscience to be void of offense towards God and what? Towards men. So you have to train your conscience by the word of God. How do you train your conscience? It's by spending time meditating on God's word and spending time praying in tongues. Glory to God. So you exercise this void of all this bitterness, anger, unforgiveness, all those things. Please do away with them. Okay? Do away with all those things. Sin and all of that. You exercise yourself to have a conscience void of offense. Okay? Walk in love. Don't be bitter. Don't be unforgiving. Also, maintain a tender conscience. Maintain a tender conscience. Maintain a good, clear, and pure conscience. Maintain a good, clear, and pure conscience to enhance your reception of divine leading. Give me 1 Timothy 1 verse 5. 1 Timothy 1 verse 5. What does it say? 1 Timothy 1 verse 5. It says, now the end of the commandment is charity, born out of a heart, a pure heart. You see that? Charity is love, born out of a pure heart, and of good conscience, and of faith unfeigned. Have a good conscience. Then 1 Timothy 1:19. 1 Timothy 1:19. It says, holding faith and a good conscience. You see it again. Then 1 Timothy 3:9. It says, holding the mystery of faith in a pure conscience. Praise God. Praise God. Make sure your conscience is what? Pure. It is good. It is clear. 1 Timothy 4:2. He say, in the last days, the spirit speaketh expressly, some will depart from the faith, giving it to seducing spirit. Then he says, some of them, verse 2, he say, they will have, they will speak lies in hypocrisy. look up. If you have a good conscience, if your conscience is tender at it, anytime you tell lies, something will pinch you. Am I lying? Something you will know that you just lied. Your conscience will tell that thing you just said now is a lie. You will feel it. It will pinch you. But have you met expert liars? They have numbed their conscience. Their conscience is having their conscience seared with a hot iron. So they are no longer feeling anything. Am I communicating? Some people can kill, steal, do something terrible, and they will not feel bad at all. Why? Their conscience is dead. It has been seared with hot iron. Some armed robbers, hired assassins, called it, they can kill somebody 1 minute, next minute. They are even going to church with Bible self, sit in front. They are not feeling anything. This set of people, their conscience is dead. That has been seared with hot iron. Praise God. There are some cults that before you join as a lady, all the black brazier. Give me an example of female court. Black brazier, which one again? Eh? Some of them, as part of the initiation ceremony, see what they do. They will carry the person that wants to join. They will tell like six guys or four to gang rape her. If she can survive, then you have qualified to join. What are they trying to do? They are trying to sear, kill her conscience. Some called to enter, they will tell you, go and kill person first. So the first time, the person that is aspiring to join the cult, the moment he kills somebody, his conscience will prick him, he will feel bad, he will be crying, they will be laughing at him. Say, this guy is a Jew, yeah, yeah. Say, by the time you do it 1, 2, 3, 5 times, say, you're not going to feel anything again. They are teaching him how to kill and deaden and sear his conscience. And when your conscience is seared, it's dangerous, though, because it will be difficult to receive divine leading. Though. So difficult to hear God. Am I communicating? Tell your neighbor, maintain a tender conscience, maintain a good conscience, maintain a clear conscience, maintain a pure conscience. Now, the next one under this is the voice of the Holy Spirit, direct. Under this sound of the Spirit, the voice of the Holy Spirit, the voice of the Holy Spirit. The voice of the Holy Spirit. Notice that one major difference. Give me Psalm 29, verse 3. One major difference between the voice of the Holy Spirit and the voice of your own human spirit is that while the voice of your human spirit is a still, small, gentle voice, the voice of the Holy Spirit is more authoritative and commanding. The tone is commanding. Am I communicating? Look at it. The voice of the Lord is upon the waters. The God of glory thundered. The Lord is upon many waters. Verse 4. The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is full of majesty. Glory to God. The Holy Spirit's voice is more authoritative. Give me Luke 9:35 at the Mount of Transfiguration. When the glory cloud came and enveloped them, look at what happened. And there came a voice out of the cloud saying, "This is my beloved son. Hear him." It's a commanding voice. Praise God. Acts 8:29. Philip, after his mighty crusade, look at how the Holy Spirit led him to minister to the Ethiopian eunuch. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, "Go near and join thyself to this chariot." Praise God. That same Acts chapter 10, verse 19. Acts 10:19, 19 and 20. Look at this. While Peter thought on the vision, the Spirit said unto him, the Holy Spirit spoke to him direct, "Behold, three men seek thee." 20. "Arise therefore, get thee down, and go with them." The voice of the Holy Spirit is authoritative and commanding. "Doubting nothing, for I have sent them." Then that same Acts 11 verse 12. Acts 11 verse 12. It says, "The Spirit bade me go with them, nothing doubting." The Spirit bade me go. He commanded me to go. Am I communicating? He instructed me to go. Praise God. Acts 13 verse 2. As they ministered to the Lord, Acts 13 2, "And as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, separate me Barnabas and Saul for the work whereunto I have called them." The voice of the Holy Spirit. Now listen, the voice of God is accompanied by the peace of God. If all the leadings of the Spirit, whether it's divine signal or the sound of the Spirit, the audio channel, know for sure that once God is leading you, it will be accompanied by the peace of God. Psalm 85 verse 8. The voice of God is accompanied by what? The peace of God. Glory to God. I say glory to God. I will hear what the Lord will speak, for he will speak peace unto his people. Anytime God speaks, is accompanied by his peace. Anytime Satan speaks to you to do anything, anytime you're about to make a wrong choice outside of God's will, you will lose your peace. Satan cannot give what he does not have. So if it is the devil that is leading you, you will not have peace in your heart. If it is God, his peace will follow his voice. Am I communicating? I will hear what the Lord will speak. He will speak peace unto his people and to his saints. But let them not turn again to folly. Don't be foolish, okay? Follow the peace in your heart that accompanies his word. And another thing about the voice of God is that it is always in agreement with the written word of God. It is always in agreement with the written word of God. It is always in harmony. It is never contradictory. God, listen, the Holy Spirit cannot tell you, cannot speak to you in a way that it contradicts the word of God. Anything the Holy Spirit tells you will always be in line with his word, always be in harmony with his word. The Spirit and the word always agree in their communication. Why? Because he is the author of this word. No scripture is of any private interpretation. Holy men speak as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. So the Holy Ghost used them as channel to write. You can't say Holy Spirit spoke something to you that it is contradictory to what he wrote in his word. They always agree. Am I communicating? Praise God. Anything you claim to hear from the Holy Spirit that contradicts the word of God, just know that it's not from the Holy Spirit. Okay? I will stop at number two. This message is very important. We'll round up tomorrow. I don't want to rush. Praise God. I say, I don't want to what? Rise to your feet. We'll round up tomorrow. Don't miss tomorrow. Have you been blessed? Our time is fast spent. Sorry, we overshoot our time today. Just lift up your voice. Talk to God. Say, Father, I receive grace to understand your leadings. I receive grace to understand and receive the leading of the Spirit. I receive grace to develop sensitivity. I receive grace to develop sensitivity to the voice and leadings of the Spirit. Manda kabaroska brakatai. Father, help me to recognize your leading. Help me to recognize your voice. Help me to be sensitive to divine direction, divine instruction. Go ahead and talk to the Lord. Mando suvra hida halate. Kumbalatiza brande kepo. Randa kapatanas. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah.
We believe you're blessed by this message. Our goal is to raise a glory generation that will walk in kingdom dominion and manifest the word of God as a lifestyle. To download more messages by Dr. Lucas Sagon King or to partner with us, please visit www.avalancheofglory.org. Subscribe to our YouTube and Telegram channel. Also follow us on Facebook and Instagram at the Avalanche of Glory Ministries International. Call 080-6530-2610 or 070-3699-1158 for more information. We love and celebrate you.